And welcome to the HSP World Podcast, a place and space for highly sensitives. With each episode, we have a conversation about an interesting HSP-related topic. We're holding space with you because HSPs only make up 15 to 20% of the population. So most of the time, HSPs are surrounded by non-HSPs. And HSP-only combos are a bit different than non-HSP combos. We feel it's important for HSPs to hear this difference. We're not coaches or therapists. We're HSPs holding space with you. I'm one of your co-hosts, Rain, and our other wonderful co-hosts are Tanya and Britta. Hey, Tanya.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Hey, Britta.
Hi there. So nice to be back here with you.
Thank you. Okay. And how are you both doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, me too. Pretty good.
Okay, cool. Okay, now we started a mini series on self-care for highly sensitives, and it includes six topics on aspects of self-care we'd like to explore with you. We're on the third topic of self-care in our series, and it's physical self-care strategies for highly sensitives. So first, what is physical self-care? Some examples are taking a walk during lunch breaks, sleeping 8 hours a day, and staying hydrated. So that's what it is, and a few examples. So, Britta, how do you practice physical self-care?
Well, I have a couple of different things that I do. And it was funny how you mentioned the eight hours of sleep. I think I need at least 8 hours. The more, the better. Sleeping is really a time for me to recover. So, yeah, at least 8 hours is definitely a must. And if I have a bad night, most of the times it's not really the day after that I get like the hit in the head, but even 2 days after, I don't know why that is. So definitely getting enough rest, even if necessary during the day, like if you're working and you feel like drained, I sometimes just take a nap in the afternoon or whenever I feel like, okay, I'm staring at a screen here, but I'm not really being productive. I'm tired. So it's just smarter in my opinion to just take a 20 minute nap or half an hour. Doesn't have to be too long, but just to get re-energized and get a fresh head.
I like how you were saying that, because sometimes actual sleep for me is awesome. rejuvenating, but sometimes if I'm dreaming, that can tire me out. So I could wake up after an 8 hour sleep, but I didn't feel like I was actually sleeping, like getting rest. So I liked when you were talking about napping, because sometimes I need that too.
Yeah. I think I hear a lot of people mention that, like it's okay to nap. And that's one of the nice things also when you work from home, that there is this freedom to take a nap when you feel you need one, you know? So that's definitely a big one for me. And then also I liked what you said about taking the walk. It's something that I started doing together with my husband a couple months ago, is making sure that we go for like 45 minute walk every day, even if it's raining or doesn't even matter. It's just get some physical exercise outside. And not like slow walking. I like to walk, well, at least a good keeping a good rhythm. And that also helps me to just, I don't know, I always have a lot of energy, and then it just helps me get rid of the axis of energy that seems to keep stuck in my body otherwise.
Makes sense. How about you, Tanya?
Yeah, some of the same things for me, but I like getting outside at least once a day is huge for me, but kind of for the opposite reason of you, Britta, because I tend to have very low energy. And so making sure that I get outside and get some fresh air really kind of boosts my mind and my body. So even if it's, you know, just a walk around the block, or even sometimes I'll just walk around the yard a few times, you know, on the grass or whatever, just to kind of get some, some fresh air in my lungs and typically cooler air because, you know, I'm in the Pacific Northwest. So a lot of damp gray days. And I think that also contributes a lot of times to kind of my low energy levels, not having the amount of sunshine that I would necessarily like all the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So getting outside is important for me. Also the way I start my day and the way I end my day, I'm finding are extremely important, which is something I didn't really start thinking about too much before a few years ago. Mm. And so even, you know, in the morning, just, you know, even if it's only two or three sun salutations in the morning, or, you know, just doing like a quick 15 or 20 minute kind of like jump around type of movement, you know, like I have a couple of apps that I like, you know, that give you kind of like quick, no equipment, like cardio things. And I can kind of go at my own pace. Mm-hmm. But also how I end my night as well. So, you know, doing moon salutations at night, just getting some stretching in, and breath work as well is huge for me, especially when it comes to sleep. I'm finding that it's making a huge difference in the quality of sleep that I have, right? Because like you were saying, Rain, we can sleep for 8 hours, but if the quality of our sleep isn't that good, right? Then we feel the effects of it. So, and that's why I love Kundalini yoga so much, is because it's really changing my life with the breath work and everything. So those are kind of my big go-tos that I try not to miss on a daily basis.
Cool. Well, that's okay. So when I was thinking about it, I thought physical self-care. So one way I practice physical self-care is to do a mindful movement meditation after I wake up, which sounds really, you know, whatever, but what it's a lot of words for basically stretching like a cat. It's basically stretching like a cat, right? So for me, when I wake up in the morning, my joints and muscles may or may not feel stiff, right? But usually, you know, just sort of my upbringing and how I've lived my life, I just sort of jumped out of bed and that was that. Start the day, that's that. So I never really, you know, took the time to do stretching, right? So I find that by taking my time, and sometimes that means I have to wake up a bit earlier, is I can unhurriedly feel into my body. So what each part of my body feels like. So I'll notice things like, ooh, yeah, that lower back stretch feels really good. Like, yeah. I'm going to do it again. You know, it needs more stretching out. Or is that a knot in my right calf? Let me stretch that out. Okay, that kind of hurts, but it's feeling better now that I'm stretching it. Cool. So I spend the time really kind of moving and stretching my body in a slow, mindful way. Which feels exasperating sometimes when I'm excited about stuff I want to do that day. But going slow teaches me there's always enough hours in the day, and it teaches me patience and acceptance with myself. So those are the things that I say to myself when I'm getting like, you know, when I feel like trying to hurry myself through it, I have to check myself and go, no, this isn't just about, you know, the stretching of your body. This is also you need to practice patience with yourself and self-compassion with yourself. So it's, I'm a work in progress. So that's the way it is.
Rain, do you feel like it really sets the tone for the rest of your day and how you move through the day? Cause that's how I feel, kind of the first couple of things that I do in the morning really makes a difference for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually, what it does is it slows me down, which is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And so but bringing it back to my body, it teaches me that going slow helps me recognize what each part of my body is feeling. And that's important to me. If I have a knot in my calf, then that's stress. And I need to recognize that, feel into that, what I could be feeling stressed about. So slowly stretching gives me information, not only about my body, but about my emotions. And you know, as an HSP, I have big emotions, right? And that's not a bad thing. My emotions are simply trying to help me, give me clues or signs. And then it's up to me to figure out how to deal with what's underneath those clues or signs. So starting my day like that really does help me go about my day in a way that's there's a rhythm to the day that I have set the rhythm for that day. If that's making any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. No, it does.
Yeah. Right? I was just wondering also listening to you guys, how I don't have a specific morning routine, but I wonder how much time do you spend doing it? How long does it take you?
Go ahead, Tanya.
For me, honestly, it depends on the day.
Oh, so it's not every day the same.
No. I would say the average is probably about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I do start to get a little bit impatient about getting the day started. But luckily, you know, I am working from home and teaching from home, and I don't have little ones at home, you know, so I don't have anybody else really that I'm responsible for typically on a weekday. So I can take that extra time, but you know, sometimes, you know, spending an hour and a half doing yoga and meditating, you know, it's a wonderful thing, but it's not typically practical, I don't think, for a lot of people, for myself. So yeah. So about 30, 45 minutes, probably the most is the average for me.
Okay.
For me, for sure, every day I do a meditation. Sometimes it's first thing in the morning. Most of the times it's in the first thing in the morning. Sometimes it's later on in the evening. But you know, it can be done anytime. And that I'll do for about 20 minutes. I find the stretching, the slowly stretching one. I've got a routine thing I have where it's 40 minutes long. Now the funny thing about that is it's going to sound so bizarre, but when I take the time and I fight the feeling of, you don't have time for this, you have other stuff you need to be doing, jump into your day, you know, that kind of thing. When I am good at fighting that off and I stay, when I just stay with it, I find, that my day goes well, but I also find out that I get different, kind of creative ideas or just different ideas, just more things kind of, I don't know. It's so weird, but things just sort of fall into place. I think, that's the way it feels for me. Now I won't do it every day. Some days I'll only do half of it. I'll be like, after 15 minutes, I'll be like, yeah, for today, that's good. That's what I can do. You know, because between, you know, 20 minutes on a meditation and, you know, like, 20 minutes, stretching out, it's like, okay, that's good. You know, but, especially if I'm feeling, you know, if I'm feeling fairly stiff or if I do find a knot, you know, in my calf or, just sort of, if I feel like I need to, you know?
Yeah. So you adjust to what you feel is needed.
Yeah. So,
okay. Interesting.
We'll say, Britta, that I spend more time on my evening practices than I do on my morning practices. So I probably spend a good 45 minutes to an hour most evenings before I go to bed. Oh, wow. So that's kind of more of my time, I guess, where I feel more connected to what I'm doing. And plus it really helps my sleep.
Yeah.
So I'd say I'm more, I spend more time on my evening than I do on my morning, more consistently anyway, for the amount of time. So
I got a question for you. Do you consider yourself a morning person, an afternoon person, or an evening person, Tanya? Just out of curiosity.
100% not a morning person.
Okay.
Yeah, not a morning person at all. Never really have been. I would say I'm more of an afternoon, early evening person. Okay. Pretty much anything after 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock maximum, I am done for the day. So
how cool is that? Okay. And I'm definitely a morning person.
And I think that affects probably what the kind of practices or routines or whatever that we're attracted to, for sure.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Okay. That's pretty cool. Okay. Staying hydrated is a big one for me. I used to think I was hungry sometimes when actually I was thirsty.
I recognize that one too.
So mind you, I still have a hard time saying no to a piece of chocolate over a drink of water. Okay. One thing I do is have regular Epsom salts baths. And I'll say why I do this. I do this because it's hard. I've found it hard for me to get enough magnesium in my diet in North America. Anyways, it's just the way the food is, and it's just the way it is. In the old days, I guess before I was born, bitters were a staple of most people, which meant dark leafy green vegetables, right? Mm. So like dandelion salad was, kind of the norm, right? Mm-hmm. So I do eat a lot of dark leafy greens, but another way I get magnesium into my system is by adding Epsom salts to my baths. Because Epsom salts it's magnesium, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do this because magnesium is a stress fighter. Mm-hmm. So it fights off stress. So anything I can do to make things easier on myself, I do, right? So I sure do feel relaxed after a nice hot Epsom salts bath.
I love baths as well.
And if any of my muscles are aching or anything, they aren't after my bath. It's just it's amazing. And what I didn't know is apparently Epsom salts baths, they also detox you. So they remove toxins from your body, which is really cool because I didn't know that. Mm. But at some points I've lived in places where there wasn't a bathtub.
Yeah.
So there was just a shower, right? But in this case, I made an Epsom salt shower scrub. And all I did is take a couple of cups of Epsom salts and some coconut oil and mixed it together, and there it is.
Oh, nice.
That's really creative.
And smells nice too, I bet.
Well, sometimes I'll add I'd be really careful with was it lavender? Might have been lavender. Essential oil, but I've been really, really, really careful about the grade and the type and everything.
Yeah, it can be irritating if you.
Yeah, well, also because if it's not a pure essential oil, then it's got perfume, the chemical parfum in it. And parfum could be any chemical, right? So I'll be undoing what I'm trying to do, So,
yeah.
I'll usually just stick with the Epsom salts and coconut oil, and I'll just get myself all clean first. And then I dip my hand in the Epsom salts and coconut oil batch. And then I'll use it as a scrub to slough off all the dead skin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And give myself a little bit of time because I really want that Epsom salts to soak into my skin, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. I want that magnesium in me, So,
yeah.
And so that's worked pretty good when I haven't had access to a bathtub. So yeah. And then what else? Another thing for me is limiting stimuli. So when I was thinking about physical self-care, for me, I realized that I seem to be becoming really mindful of limiting stimuli. So mainly in the form of people and activities. So because I feel like for me, because I have a highly tuned nervous system, that I can get overwhelmed by too much stimuli, which is challenging because I'm also HSS, right? Yeah. So too much stimuli will cause me to react to people or situations in a way I wouldn't if my system wasn't dealing with too much stimuli, right? So that's kind of how I can catch when, okay, I've gone too far for myself because I'm reacting to something instead of simply observing it, seeing it, dealing with it, or whatever, you know, in a way that's, you know, so I can tell when I'm getting too much stimuli. So, which is, you know, weird, but, you know, our nervous system is physical, you know, like it's a physical thing. So when I was thinking of physical stimuli, I was like, yeah, for me, limiting stimuli is, I'm noticing that is important for me, that I have to, and it's not about, you know, it is about setting boundaries, but it's like, I'm setting boundaries because I'm recognizing that my, you know, I need to look after my physical self-care, because if my nervous system is overwhelmed, well, I'm really no good to anybody or myself, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, so yeah, doing that, yeah, that's, so while the HSS part of me can get bored by routine, I do have to be mindful of how much is too much, and when I'm feeling like my system is getting close to being overwhelmed. And if I have gone too far and I have gone into overwhelm, it's like, okay, now it's self-care. This is what you need to do to bring yourself back to your, you know, my equilibrium, like where I feel comfortable. It's a high wire, you know, walk, honestly. You know, you really do have to find that sweet spot, and, you know, it's okay. You know, it's, but it does take a little bit of experimentation, you know, of being like, okay, you know, how does this feel? How does that feel? How, you know, a bit of reflection at the end of the day. Okay. You know, this is, so yeah, I noticed for me, it's, stimuli, limiting stimuli is a big one. Again, I'm an introvert though too, right?
And
for the sleeping, you know, I'm same as you, Tanya, definitely need 8 hours. If I don't, I can get cranky.
Yeah. I mean, eight is nice. 10 is ideal. But
14 thing, sleeping in.
Yes. Oh gosh, yes. Another thing for me is trying to stay away from sugar and caffeine as well. Is a big one. So
yeah, I was about to say nutrition is also something that I consider physical self-care.
Absolutely.
What you put into your body is also huge. And I think for me specifically, I just need to make sure that I eat at regular times. I can never skip breakfast, for example, because then I get this icky feeling of low blood sugar. It's just, that can really mess you up as well. So I really need to make sure that I eat at regular times. I cannot skip any meal.
I've become a grazer. Actually, I really have. I've become like, my breakfast is a good breakfast, but after breakfast, I'm mostly grazing. I'm mostly every couple hours I'm eating something, you know, some almonds, some this, some that, you know, I won't really necessarily have big meals, but I'm grazing every couple of hours. And I find that really helps me to keep my energy level, stable.
Yeah.
You know, right. Instead of like, you know, a big meal at lunch and then it's like, oh, okay, great. But then I feel like having an 8 hour nap, you know?
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, I think, Yeah. So I also found for the sleeping, I found that interacting with people an hour before I want to be asleep can make it hard for me to sleep, even if it's a good interaction, right? It's just stimuli. And I realized for me, I have to limit the stimuli with people for myself before getting ready to sleep. So like talking on the phone, right? Mm-hmm. Or having like a big, deep conversation, before I'm going to, like, I can't do those things, you know, it's too much stimuli. It's too much information. It's just too much. Right.
Yeah.
So I have to limit, I really do have to limit that, before I'm getting ready to go to sleep. Right. Like it's weird. I can watch an enjoyable show, on my computer or whatever, or read or whatever, and it's all good, right? But if it's people, it's just, I don't know.
Maybe because one is active and one is passive, maybe.
That's a really good point, Tanya, because watching a show and reading, those are passive and it's not requiring anything from me, whereas dealing with people, it's like, you're listening, you're picking up on the nonverbal stuff and all the rest of it, right? So it's work.
And you're picking up on their energy as well. So whatever they're experiencing, even if it's positive, it's still, you're taking on someone else's energy and processing it. And that's how I feel anyway about interactions with other people.
That's cool. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm taking on their energy. I feel like, but even the act of observing their energy, just noticing where they're at, that's, and whatever it was we were talking about, and it's just, really, really understanding where they're coming from. It takes quite a bit of energy.
For sure.
It just takes a lot of energy. So yeah, I don't know. It's strange, but that's okay.
Well, that's okay.
It's not strange. It's just your experience.
Yeah. You know what? And that's the thing is, I think it's, having the HSP trait, and, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm okay with understanding that I experience this world differently. Like it was so weird to learn that I had the HSP drain and that only 15 to 20% of the population have it. So it was so bizarre to learn that, like, most people have, like, do not experience the world this way, but then the more I kind of, as time moves on and I become more and more comfortable, it's like, these are the things that, this is cool, it's different, and it's different, whatever, we're all different. Everybody's different. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Right.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love about our conversations, is that even though we're all HSP, right, we're all so different, and we, all of our experiences. And so you can't just say, I'm an HSP, and kind of group us all together. Right. Because we're all individuals on top of that, and we have our own sensitivities and experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I'm actually wondering, talking about the physical, is any of you really active in kind of sports or?
No. I did a triathlon once.
Good for you.
And I almost had a nervous breakdown. Oh. Because I was terrified of drowning, but I don't know. I have the medal to prove it.
Yay!
Good for you. No, but physical self-care might also, some people might really enjoy going to the gym or practicing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Sports of some kind.
So for me, it's really strange. All my life, it's solo sports, doing things solo, are those things I seem to do really well at. Like, when I was a kid, it was gymnastics, it was downhill skiing, it was, swimming.
Not really the group sports.
They can be group sports, like you can be a team of skiers and a team of swimmers, and things like that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And in gymnastics, it's, you're on a team, but you're performing on your own. Right.
So yes.
Yeah. It's not the same as like being on a soccer team or football team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but I've always enjoyed, I've always enjoyed, you know, not to say like, I mean, I've played on baseball teams and, you know, done all kinds of stuff like that. There's, you know, it's, but I seem to enjoy the solo things more. So like I, you know, I love bike riding, you know, when I was in Chile, I went and grabbed a secondhand bike and I rode my bike everywhere.
Oh, that would be nice. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that, that I've done. I notice where I am right now. I haven't been doing a heck of a lot. But that's mostly because I'm in a, you know, kind of a busy metropolitan area. So, yeah. You know, so I think that's got a little, so, I mean, I do my walking and stuff like that anyways, because, you know, anything I go to do, I make sure I'm walking, you know, mm-hmm. basically I'm getting there that way because it feels good. And even, you know, it could be, I'm going to go get a little treat from the store. Oh yeah. You got to walk there. So.
Yeah. That's one thing that's nice living in an area like that. That's one thing that's really nice about it. Is that you can mm-hmm. walk to things. Mm-hmm. It would take me 3 hours to walk to our store. Are you sporty, Britta? Are you a sports team person?
Not really. I used to dance. Oh, so I don't know if that's cool. Considered sports.
I used to dance a lot.
I used to do
exercise.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And it combines movement and music, which are both things that I love. So it was mostly Latin dances. And then I did a Zumba for a while, which is, yeah, I don't know if you know Zumba. It's this Latin inspired gymnastics workout thing. And that was really fun. But then I had some back issues and I had to drop it all. But I really enjoyed it. It was a really good way to get the energy out. As I was saying, like now I'm slowing down and I just go for a walk where I used to go dancing. And that was really, I always felt so good dancing and getting that energy out. That was my workout.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, hopefully finally, maybe you can get back into it and just to find a happy medium, you know, like maybe not as intense as it was, because maybe that did something to your back, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I was teaching at a certain point. It really was a lot of nights a week, a lot of sessions a week, but yeah, we'll see.
Maybe that was your body telling you, yeah, this is a bit much.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the good things also that I wanted to mention about physical self-care is listening to what your body's telling you.
For sure.
And listening to, and I'm probably the worst at listening to my own body, because when I feel my back is playing up and I'm like, yeah, but just this little, or I want to finish something.
Push
too hard. And then afterwards that, you know, it wasn't really a good idea to push through.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I've seen other HSP say things like, you know, I used to, you know, like you, Brett, I love dancing and I danced a lot and then I hurt my back and so I don't dance anymore. And it's like, you know, if we're pretty human beings, we are pretty resilient little suckers, because, you know, as long as we give ourselves the time to heal and we treat ourselves right, doesn't mean we can't go back and do that same thing. You know, it's just, that was a sign saying, okay, you know, you can totally do this, but doing it too much, you know, it's about recognizing the limits, you know, your own limits, and respecting them and being like, I can do this, but this is how much is too much. And this is the, you know, it's like the pea in the princess's bed, you know, it's a little bit too much, or, you know, what is that? The one with the three bears, you know, this bed's too big, this bed's too small. We have to sometimes do a little bit of experimenting to find that
what works,
the right match.
It's like baking. Finding the right amount that you need to get your perfect cake.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you, Tanya and Britta, for sharing your experiences. And thank you, highly sensitive listeners, for sharing your time and space today. Feel free to join us on Instagram or Facebook. And if you'd like to have a conversation with us or you have a topic idea, please email info@hsp.world and we'll be in touch. Join us for our next podcast, where we'll be chatting about mental self-care for highly sensitives. See you next time. Bye, Tanya. Bye, Britta.
Bye. Bye-bye.